Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you on a Wednesday here, middle of the week between weeks 1 and 2 of the 2021 NFL season. The Kansas City Chiefs are 1-0. It took a lot to scratch and claw to get their first win, but they got the job done. We're going to recap some of the game on Sunday, what stood out to us, who maybe were some of the winners based off performances or losers for the Chiefs, and also look ahead a little bit to this upcoming week's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, week 2 on Sunday Night Football. It was obviously one of the bigger games of the week going into it. Chiefs and Browns, week 1. So we're just going to dive right in here and look at the first half of this game. Cleveland obviously went up 22-10 at halftime, but it was pretty crazy. This was a game where I don't think I've seen Baker Mayfield probably play a better game, at least until the last couple of drives. He started to falter a little bit, missing his reads pre-snap, and not pointing out where the pressure was coming from. He's starting to miss some throws a little bit compared to how perfect he was early on. And then you have the interception at the end of the game, obviously, that sealed it. But I thought early on, first probably 3.5 quarters or so, Baker Mayfield, I don't know if I've seen him play a more perfect and more surgical game at the quarterback position at the NFL level until this one. You add in the running game of Cleveland as well, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but especially Nick Chubb and the offensive line that they have. I mean, we talked about it going in, one of the better groups of blocking in the league, and it was just, they were toying with Kansas City pretty easily. A lot of misdirection, a lot of counter usage, really kind of stretching the field and making the Chiefs have to use any range that they had and go sideline to sideline. And we kind of remember from last year's Super Bowl, whenever Tampa Bay ran the ball, they did that a little bit as well, stretching the field, forcing the defensive backs of Kansas City to have to make tackles. And as good as L'Jarius Sneed was last year, this was a very difficult start for him to the season, had some missed tackles. You know, Charvarius Ward had a lot of tough plays on the day. And even in pass coverage for him, plays it looked like he had good coverage on, just was not able to break up the pass. And obviously overall with the running game, I mean, Juan Thornhill, I thought he made some great plays down the stretch, but he's another guy early on, was a little shaky with tackling. So running game was rolling for Cleveland. You had Baker Mayfield winning with some of the better ways that he can, play action passing, throwing on the run, was able to hit throws down the field. And overall, I thought this was a game where defensively, you know, I just didn't know if the Chiefs were ever going to get a stop. So it was huge that they did late in the game. You know, obviously no Tyrann Mathieu. He was activated off the COVID list on Saturday, but the team, and specifically Andy Reid, which we'll touch on later, Coach Reid is the one that actually held him out for this game, wanted to give him some more rest physically before they bring him back into the fold next week. So he will be playing this upcoming week against the Ravens, but Tyrann Mathieu, with missing a week and a half to 2 weeks of practice and being on the COVID list, having the virus, it was probably in the best interest to sit him, even though it was going to be a challenging day for the defense. But then you add in Frank Clark, another guy that was very close to playing, been dealing with the hamstring injury. Obviously, he was close to playing. Andy Reid said he just wanted to see a little bit more, and they couldn't quite get that in warm-ups. So no Clark, no Mathieu. And you look at you just look at this group as well, missing Willie Gay, right? And this kind of matchup, this was tough to not have him in. Now, rookie Nick Bolton did a great job, missed 0 tackles on the day, 6 or 7 total tackles, 1 for a loss. He had a really good day. There was some plays, play action, where he's just not he doesn't have the elite long speed, so he's against those play action throws right now is where he's most vulnerable in a matchup like this, where Cleveland can run those horizontal routes crossing over the middle of the field, and Bolton, you know, slow to react to where the play is going sometimes, but also not able to catch up to some of those tight ends or receivers running in the flats once they make the catch. So other than that, though, it was a pretty good day for Nick Bolton. The moment did not look too big for him. He flew around, actually got off some blocks pretty well, which has been a work in progress for him coming out of Missouri. So really impressed with him. I thought he was one of the big winners of the day, and we'll touch on that maybe a little more later. But yeah, I mean, I think you just look at some of the things we learned from a defensive perspective. I think it obviously stands out that the Chiefs need to get Tyrann Mathieu's contract extension done as soon as they can, because, I mean, they did not have their leadership. They did not have their intensity during most of this game. I mean, Chris Jones really turned it around in the second half. Andy Reid mentioned that he thought Jones had one of the best second halves of any defensive lineman he's ever coached. And I thought, obviously with that, you know, that was what helped the Chiefs able to mount the comeback and obviously get those few stops at the end of the game was one of his sacks. But yeah, I think overall, when you don't have Mathieu, you don't have Gay, you don't have Clark, right? The run defense is going to suffer a little bit when you don't have those tone setters. So those are a couple of things we learned in this game from the defense. The run defense needs those tone setters to be successful. They need that speed and that discipline to be able to fill the gaps or hold their edge on the outside. I thought offensively some things we learned in this game, you know, flipping over to the offense now. I mean, the offensive line held their own. There was a couple times Mahomes got sacked. You know, one was a play where Mahomes had a little bit too deep of a drop back, didn't step up quick enough, and he even said after the game that he's still working on that as a passer. The other one late in the game where Myles Garrett got to Mahomes, that was just a perfect get off. I know Orlando Brown Jr. is going to get a lot of blame for that, but overall, I just don't think there was a whole lot that he could do with the angle that Myles Garrett was coming at, along with the speed and get off that he generated off the snap. So I don't really blame Orlando Brown Jr. a whole lot for that play. I mean, it's going to be a sack either way when you have a pass play called like that. With his speed and get off. So I thought the offensive line held their own. I mean, rookie Creed Humphrey at center, 41 pass blocking snaps for him, and he allowed zero sacks, zero pressures, according to Pro Football Focus. So great day from Creed Humphrey. But Trey Smith at right guard, I mean, he's probably the one that stuck out the most to me of the guys from center to right tackle, like on that right side, just because, man, he really was showing off his nastiness, showing off something that we just have not seen. It's been missing for a long time from a collective group perspective for Kansas City on their blocking unit. And for Trey Smith, the rookie sixth round pick, again, probably a steal in the draft, for him to kind of be the most nasty on the day. We know the rest of the group certainly can be, but for him to be the one that was down and dirty, you know, a lot of pancake blocks, a lot of just aggression that he wouldn't stop going after guys, you know, until well after the play was over, or, you know, well after the play was out of that area of the field. I mean, he did a great job. If you guys look at Patrick Mahomes' rushing touchdown, he had a big pancake block there on the defensive lineman near the goal line. So I'm really impressed with Trey Smith and the offensive line overall. I thought they did a great job. Joe Tooney was called for a holding call early in this game. I believe it was the first quarter. I thought that was a little bit of a iffy call. I don't think it was terrible by Tooney. He kind of got up high with his hands, and the defender did fall to the ground, but it wasn't like Tooney tackled him. Like, you see guys lose their balance and kind of go with their defensive lineman opponent to the ground. So that was one penalty they had. They had another false start later on. But I thought overall this group did really, really well in their first full game together. Patrick Mahomes looked comfortable in the pocket. When he did feel pressure, it wasn't multiple guys coming after him. He was able to kind of evade it in one-on-one matchups. We saw it on the 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. Was able to kind of get away from the defensive end and step up above and around him. And then we saw in the rushing touchdown, the first score of the game for the Chiefs, for a touchdown anyway, Patrick Mahomes was able to, you know, evade the one-on-one matchup there. So I also thought in the running game, they created massive gaps or smooth creases. We saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There was a couple of run plays. I think Clyde missed the opening, right, that he could have hit. But sometimes I think the running play is just called to go inside. Could have bounced it out a couple of times. But overall, I think I think the offensive line, I mean, I think they deserve an A grade for this game. Not their most tough matchup of the season, but still a challenging one when all the different looks that Cleveland brings to the table and how much pressure they were wanting to bring early on in this game and then mixing coverages later on. Another thing that stood out to me from an offensive perspective, man, wide receiver depth is still a big question mark. Tyreek Hill, obviously a tremendous game. We'll get more on that here in a minute, but DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, that trio only combined for 5 receptions for 32 yards, just over 7 yards per reception. So not a lot to really hang your hat on there. DeMarcus Robinson had one catch on third down where made the catch over the middle of the field, couple of yards short, and he's done what he's been doing his entire career, dancing in the open field, not getting up the field quick enough, putting his head down and getting the first. So that's been an issue that continues to be stemming for him on this offense. But the thing is, he had the second most snaps for any wide receiver on the Chiefs on Sunday, which is not really anything different than what we've seen in the past couple of years. Mecole Hardman basically being used in the same kind of role that he's been used in his first 2 seasons. You hope to see him kind of take a step forward, and maybe that just was what Reed's plan was for this kind of game against this particular opponent. But I think overall, very, very concerning to see how Mecole Hardman was used in this game. Did catch all 3 of his targets, but none for really a big yardage. He had a touch pass that went to him, and he kind of had very little effort on that play to where he went out of bounds early before the sticks. I mean, 1 yard to go, went out of bounds too early when he had room to possibly cut it inside or just simply keep going forward. But that put the Chiefs in a 3rd-and-1 situation. They did the play where Blake Bell came in motion, took the snap under center. The former Oklahoma quarterback, now at tight end, was able to sneak it for a first down. But you cannot put yourself or your team in those kind of positions when you easily could have got the first down. And like I said, just him being used in that same fashion or same role that he's been used in the first 2 years, we'll have to see if that changes going forward, because I mean, this is a big year, crucial year for Mecole Hardman now with Sammy Watkins out of the picture. Byron Pringle, I mean, I said I kind of lumped him into that trio, obviously, with Robinson and Hardman, but he really didn't get a lot of chances in this game, so it's hard to really place a lot of blame on Byron Pringle. He only saw 11 total offensive snaps, had one catch early on over the middle, gained a first down. So that was his only catch of the day. I really want to see more of Byron Pringle, but yeah, it was a minimal day for action for him. So I really would not rule out the possibility of the Chiefs still adding a wide receiver. There was news yesterday. I'm recording this on Wednesday, so there was news on Tuesday that former Browns, Patriots, Seahawks wide receiver Josh Gordon has completed his, I believe, treatment program is what it was described as. Obviously, a guy that's been given some chances and unfortunately just has had some off-the-field issues with the substance abuse suspensions coming for him. But if he's clean, if he's good to go, he's a name that I can see the Chiefs maybe going after and signing. Darius Fountain was made inactive in this game, really wanted to see him healthy or active on the field. So he was not playing. Marcus Kemp didn't really get any significant targets. So I don't place a lot of blame on those two guys, but you know, the receivers need to really step up, because if they don't, you know, down the stretch, this is an offense that maybe could become stressed, as good as they can be, if the wide receivers don't step up. So Josh Gordon's a name to watch if they could add him. You have other free agents out there. John Brown, the former Cardinal, Raven, Bill. He was with the Raiders in training camp this year, was released. He asked for it and got it. So he's out there right now. He's kind of a similar guy to what the Chiefs have with other receivers already on the roster, but I think John Brown is a guy that could still stretch the field and help out a guy like Patrick Mahomes in big moments if Hill and Kelsey are getting, you know, completely covered up. So John Brown's out there. Golden Tate, I'm not really as big of a fan as Golden Tate as I would be for Josh Gordon or John Brown, but another guy that's out there has been around the block, veteran guy. So if they wanted to make that move, it is what it is. I would not personally be a big fan of it, but another name that is out there. So the wide receiver depth that obviously stuck out to me, So, yeah, I mean, I think red zone, it wasn't as bad as it could have been offensively, but those two drives that ended in a field goal, I mean, could have been even more deflating than they really were. So we've seen over the last year or two, every once in a while, red zone issues have been giving the Chiefs problems. We'll see if they can work and tweak on that a little bit. I thought offensively they had a little bit too much trick plays where they could have just ran the ball, you know, use your new offensive line and road grade it out against Cleveland. So that's kind of what stood out to me. If you guys check out our game recap article, I listed winners and losers for the Chiefs in this game. Some winners, Tyreek Hill, 197 receiving yards on the day. And he was huge on third down. We'll kind of touch on it a little bit later on. But yeah, huge on third down in this game. Obviously, the 75-yard touchdown was a big play where he was able to adjust, find the football, and run away from John Johnson III for the touchdown. Obviously, nearly 200 receiving yards on the day, but it felt like an easy day for Hill. And he even said after the game that he thought he left some more yards out there. So it could have easily been a 200 receiving yard day for Hill. Travis Kelce, obviously, another winner that I listed. Just crazy to see the noticeable adjustments that he makes, you know, being able to find those soft spots in the zone. Both touchdown passes or catches that he had, he was able to find those zones pretty quickly. And it's just crazy to me watching how fluid he moves and how smooth he moves, that defenders don't pick that up even easier. There was the second touchdown. I mean, he basically turned around to Mahomes right away, just sat there. I mean, only went like 3 yards upfield, made the catch, and then backed his way into the end zone. So as long as he continues to be used in a versatile way and him being able to sit in zones, I mean, he's going to continue to be the standard bearer at tight end around the league. Chris Jones, another winner for me. A little bit of a slow start out of the gate, but I think obviously that sack right before halftime, I mean, that was something that got the defense going a little bit. Kept the Browns off the scoreboard right before halftime. Kept it at a two-possession game. And obviously a sack late. He kind of talked about, you know, he quit reading play action as far as playing the run and just simply went after the spot to where he thought Mayfield was going to be. So he took over in that second half. We mentioned Andy Reid thought that Jones had one of the best second halves of any defensive lineman he's ever coached. So really overall, I mean, we saw it in the preseason training camp and now this game. He already looks very comfortable at defensive end, being able to play an inside-out kind of position this year. With him moving around the line of scrimmage. Nick Bolton, we mentioned him already. I thought he was another winner. With Willie Gay out, they needed a big game from a linebacker. I didn't think Anthony Hitchens played particularly well. I know he didn't really miss as many tackles as he has in other past games, but I thought Bolton was the best linebacker on the day. We mentioned it, no missed tackles, one for a loss, 7 total on the day, and finished with the best tackling grade of any Kansas City defender. So I'm expected to see more extended snaps for Nick Bolton. The coaching staff already has immense confidence in him. So a really good performance like this, they're going to lean on him, I think, a little bit coming up against another team that runs the ball a lot in the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night. Losers, I thought the run defense, and just particular, I thought this was a game that they kind of showed some weaknesses that they've shown in the past when they've struggled with run defense, overcompensating, leaving gaps too early, leaving those exposed. You have backside cuts there for the taking for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And it was just a disappointing day, I think, for guys that the team counts on to be good against the run. I mentioned Anthony Hitchens, but Derek Nnadi, he's been one of their better run defenders up front for the last couple of years, but really, really struggled in this game to get off of blocks, reset the line of scrimmage, and fill his gap, you know, consistently. So those are going to be some guys that the Chiefs, I think, are going to expect bounce back performances from going forward against the run. We already mentioned the wide receivers behind Hill. So, I mean, that's something we're going to continue to watch as the weeks go on. Some statistical notes that I wanted to mention from this game. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes continues to break records. He broke the record for most touchdown passes through a player's first 50 NFL starts, passing Dan Marino, who had 116 touchdown passes in his first 50 starts. Mahomes now at 117. And then he also passed Kurt Warner for the most passing yards through a player's first 50 NFL starts. Kurt Warner was sitting at 14,372 yards through his first 50 starts. Mahomes now has passed him with 14,489 yards. And the thing is, we mentioned first 50 NFL starts. That's what Marino and Warner did, was 50. But Mahomes did both of those in 47 games played. So he's already on an early pace to break a lot more records. You look at the another thing relating to Mahomes. In the Mahomes era, this was the Chiefs' largest comeback victory in the regular season, 12-point deficit. Their largest overall with Mahomes was obviously in the playoffs, wild card win over Houston in January 2020. But regular season-wise, this was their biggest. So that's obviously a big feeling where you probably only played your C or B game at best during the day as a team, and the Browns probably played their A game at least until the final, 5 to 8 minutes. That's big, especially when you look at the rest of the league on the day. You look at contenders that a lot of people believe are going to be right there in the AFC battling it out for the against the Chiefs, the Bills, the Browns, the Ravens, all 0-1 on the day. That's huge for the Chiefs as well, with them getting this win here. Coach Reid now just 5 wins away from passing Curly Lambeau for 5th most on the NFL's all-time wins list. He got win number 222 yesterday as a head coach, so we will see him pass Curly Lambeau, obviously, this season at some point. I guess how long that will be from now remains to be seen. And now the Browns, after losing again on Sunday, 0-16-1 in their last 17 Week 1 games. You got to go back to 2004 for their last Week 1 win. Looked like they were going to maybe get it, but not this time. They still got to wait another year for possibly getting a win in Week 1 of the NFL season. So that's going to kind of wrap it up as far as the main points that stuck out to me. I just wanted to mention a few interesting nuggets from the media availability after the game. We mentioned Coach Reid. He was the guy that held out Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark in this game, wanted to give him a little more rest, a little more time off the field before they come back possibly this week. So we mentioned already what he thought about Chris Jones' second half. He thought the D-line rotations was a big part of their second half improvements, keeping guys fresh. And he thought they were in pretty good shape, given how hot it was to open the season with the temperature, and defensively loved just how they got stronger as the game went on. He mentioned how offensively they increased their running calls to get Clyde going a little bit. And even though that didn't necessarily come to full fruition from Clyde's perspective, it did help out the team because it ate 13 minutes off the clock and allowed them to score 10 points there in that third quarter. And he also just didn't love the balance they had in the first half. He wanted to get that back down to 50-50 as much as he could. And he wanted to force the Browns to mix coverages. And you did see that kind of open up. I mean, Mahomes was able to kind of fit those deeper passes in a little more consistently late in the second half, just because once they started to run the ball more, it did just what Andy Reid was hoping it would do. Chris Jones, he kind of talked about the second half adjustments involving the younger guys. He thought, they did a good job of doing their jobs, basically, the younger guys, meaning Nick Bolton. Tershawn Wharton was another guy. He thought Mike Dana had a rough first half, but obviously improved as the second half went on. And we kind of mentioned already the late sack, stopped playing the run on play action and just went to where he thought Baker Mayfield would be in the backfield. And he loved playing under adversity in this game. And he says, I mean, he talks about how the Chiefs prepared day by day. And every week, Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, shows a clip about a soldier in war, or, a duck in water, with the predator nearby. So they talked about watching that. He talked about watching that every week and just how much he loves playing under adversity. And when they're down or in tight games, he loves that he's the guy that can help lead the team and bring a comeback or bring a big play. So that was really cool to hear from Chris Jones. Patrick Mahomes at the podium, he talked about Tyreek Hill. I mean, if it wasn't for his world-class speed, he thought that his adjustments to the football are probably his best trait. And again, we've seen that time and time again on deep passes, and we saw it on the 75-yard touchdown on Sunday. Tyreek Hill's ability to adjust to the football continues to get better. Just how far he's come year after year, evolving as a complete receiver, his route running, his daily prep, and being able to release and have enough counters and fakes to go up against defensive backs. That was something that really stood out from Mahomes' words, talking about Tyreek Hill. He thought that different package against empty formation is what Cleveland showed. They kind of kept rotating that against the Chiefs' empty formation on offense. Tight coverage kind of forced him to scramble a little more on those empty formation plays, he said. And he said just the daily and weekly prep that they have, and that's kind of why he said they think they start the season so well every year in September. It's a difference in these kind of matchups against teams that are really vying to dethrone them in the AFC. And he thought the offensive line played well. He said that he needs to work on deeper drops, stepping up into the pocket still a little bit more. I thought he did okay on some plays with that, but yeah, that was obviously a sticking point. And he said just communication with the offensive line, he thought was really, really good to open the season. We kind of mentioned some other stuff later on. The O-line and attitude and physicality, that was something that Coach Reed, Patrick Mahomes, and even Travis Kelce kind of mentioned as really being a difference in this game. Tough matchup where they were getting it kind of taken to him early on. He thought the offensive line's physicality and attitude was a big difference. Tyreek Hill, I mean, he talked about third down offense. I mean, that's where you get paid. I thought that was really cool to obviously hear him mention that. The Chiefs were 9-12 total in this game on third down offense, 6 of 6 on their touchdown drives on third down. Most throws obviously went to Tyreek Hill. He just said how much pride he takes on being reliable or dependable in third down situations. And we saw that again in this game. I mean, even though he thought he left some yards out there, this has really been a sticking point in this game that's been better and better. Another part of Tyreek Hill that continues to evolve. And as he grows, I mean, that's why he continues to be one of the best receivers in the game. So that's kind of what stood out from the media availability after the game. And that's pretty much going to wrap it up. If you guys missed our Chiefs-Browns recap article from Tuesday, you guys can go to fullpresscoverage.com, fullpresscoverage.com/Chiefs, and go check that out. Like I said, it was a game where I really thought the Chiefs were more lucky to win for among some of their comebacks than maybe some other comeback wins than they've had before. And that's really just mostly because of the defensive performance. I thought the offense actually had a pretty fine day overall. Patrick Mahomes actually, as announced this morning on Wednesday, did win AFC Offensive Player of the Week. I thought he was pretty much perfect almost across the board. Really didn't have a lot of throws that were, you know, in danger of being turnover-worthy plays. I thought he was really smart with how he stepped up and scrambled. You know, you can see him still working on wanting to stay in the pocket a little more. But overall, I thought this was a good game for the offense. I would like to see the running game get going a little more. And I think that's, you could kind of see what Coach Reed said after the game with that, you know, he wants to have a little more balance. So I think Clyde missed a few opportunities, had some holes that he could have bounced into or out of, but, you know, overall, I think the offense did a pretty good job in this game. So looking for the defense to bounce back a little bit. They did make some big stops, obviously, down the stretch. But getting Tyrann Mathieu back this week and possibly Frank Clark as well is going to be huge. The young guys continue to play. If they continue to play how they did near the end of this game, I think they'll be fine as well. We're going to touch a little bit on the Ravens here, last few minutes of the show today. Not really going to do too much from a personnel standpoint. I'll have an article coming out today talking about their offense and defense overall. Obviously, a team that going into the season was already going through a lot of injuries, both sides of the ball, but especially offensively, their running back position, kind of down to the very end. You know, they brought in a lot of veteran names, Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray, who did play on Monday night, Devonta Freeman. So we'll probably see Le'Veon and Devonta, I would guess, on Sunday night. And defensively, I thought this was one of the Ravens' most questionable games in a long time. Obviously, you lost Marcus Peters to injury, But Marlon Humphrey, I mean, he had some big plays, but down the stretch, I thought was really, really shaky in coverage. Obviously was beat on the play where the Raiders beat him in overtime on Monday Night Football for week one. And that was something throughout the game. I mean, the Ravens ran cover zero a lot, put everybody at the line of scrimmage, left the backside open all game long, and Derek Carr took advantage of it. And I mean, if they continue to do that against the Chiefs, I think Mahomes is going to possibly have a 400-yard game if he wants to, because that was really questionable as the game went on, how often they went to cover zero, just because it wasn't working early on either. I mean, it was one thing to do it that one play in overtime where the Raiders won the game on, but it's another thing to just do it early on when it wasn't necessarily working. I mean, Darren Waller was beating them play in and play out. You had Derek Carr, honestly played a pretty good game, he was all over the place early on, but I thought his decision making was pretty good for the most part. I mean, he was challenged a little bit having to fit certain throws into spots where it's just difficult on him and the pass catcher. But I mean, it was overall just, I think, a questionable game for this defense. You know, they're struggling right now to kind of create pressure consistently. We'll see how that ends up playing out against Kansas City. But offensively, I thought, man, one of the most weak games we've seen from the Ravens offense in a long time too. They really struggled, I thought, to really, win battles up front. There was a lot of plays, running plays, where the Raiders snuffed it out in the backfield. Lamar Jackson looked to be a little hesitant on certain throws, kind of double clutched a lot, pumped a lot. And really, I thought the accuracy, most of the time, he was low. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Ravens come back, because you know they're going to be obviously going into this game with a lot of motivation just because of how much the Chiefs have beat them the last few years. But the Ravens go to 0-2 in that division. That's going to be really, really tough to come back from, and with how deep the AFC is in general. So really interesting to see how the Ravens played Monday night. They blew basically two different leads, was up, at one point by 14. They were up another point by 10. So the Raiders really, I thought, outcoached him, believe it or not. John Gruden, I think actually made a lot of decisions. If it wasn't for some penalties on the Raiders or just some wacky wild moments that just come unexpected during the game, I honestly thought the Raiders could have won this game without overtime. And it's a big win for the Raiders in the AFC West. All four teams 1-0 after week one. So we'll touch a little more on the Ravens, obviously, later this week. We got game preview podcast episode coming out on Friday. I'll have my opponent overview article of them today on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that after this podcast episode drops. Obviously, you guys can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Myself is at @BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. If you guys want to follow the main full press coverage accounts relating to the NFL, you guys can follow at @FP_coverage or at @FullPressNFL. A lot of news items going out day by day on the Full Press NFL account with all the injury news or contract news to watch for. So stay tuned for that. If you guys want to give us a follow there, that would be much appreciated. Of course, if you guys want daily video content, FPC Radio Live, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central Time with Ian Glendon, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Full Press Radio Network, or Full Press NFL. You guys can search that there, FPC Radio Live or Full Press Coverage on YouTube and Facebook. You guys can find it there. Also, FPC NFL Sunday, myself, Kyle Senra, with Ian. Great show last Sunday. Really, really fun to talk about week one, going into the game, previewing the games. And there was a lot of shocks afterwards. So if you guys watched that, you guys saw what our picks were for the winners on Sunday for week one. Collectively, we didn't do very good. So looking for a bounce back week there in week two. But obviously, check us out on Sundays, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time, in those same spots that I mentioned, YouTube, Facebook, or you guys can search various accounts on Twitter, Full Press Radio Network, Full Press NFL, FPC Radio Live. All of those will be having the shows on there on Sundays. So follow us there. Obviously, stay tuned for the latest FPC Chiefs articles, podcast episodes this week. It's going to be a big week once again against the Ravens. A lot of stuff riding on the line for certain players in this game and both teams. So it's going to be another fun week. Sunday Night Football, always a bright spotlight in this kind of matchup against Baltimore. So we'll have it locked on here. Stay tuned for the latest. And with that, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you guys next time.